the reason I say this is because I've been a member of the council now literally since its inception. So that means it's been, what, three, almost 4 years now. We have had presented to the council over the last 4 years some incredibly contentious issues going to expansion in the namespace, in which, for as an example, which constituencies were very strongly divided and opinionated and so forth, and we've always been able to work effectively. We've never had a situation where someone has elected to boycott, even though in some cases there have been constituencies, how do I put it, other than the provider's constituencies, who could have hypothetically consolidated and created an environment like this. It's almost as if what we're saying is we, at this point in time, we can't give the ability of the constituencies to work together
right.
The benefit of a doubt. So I guess I'm a bit concerned about that, number one. Number two, Marilyn expressed...
Fucking around with me, lady. Watch your ass.
What? Hello?
Hello?
Somebody got on the call,
hello?
I think. Yeah. Philip? Bruce, did you hear me?
Yes, keep going.
Okay. Secondly, Marilyn expressed concern about, I believe, global outreach and so forth. I think the diminishment of the number of council members has a much greater impact on that issue than what we're talking about here. Number three, Philip, I think you started out by saying that your principal concern was to get this issue before the board so that they had the opportunity to at least have it on their plate during the opportunities in the future to review the actions and operations of the GNSO. It would appear to me that based on what Louis said, it's already been before the board. They're aware of it, and I just think that at this point in time, it just doesn't make any sense to go any further with this, unless you're all very concerned about our ability to work together in the future. If that's the case, then just get it out on the table, and let's be done with it.
Okay. Any other discussion?
This is Louis. May I make another remark?
Yes, go ahead.
Just wanted to stress that in my remarks, I'm not saying that, you know, in the future this might not be a meritorious proposal, but I think that indeed it may be worthwhile at the periodic review for there to be independent periodic review for there to be consideration of whether equalized voting itself is a good idea. And whether experience has proven that it's a successful way of bringing together and increasing the collaboration and potential of the council to reach consensus. But that having been said, I think, as stated in the analysis that's at the link that I just sent around to all of you, this really was not a unintentional consequence of the current bylaws. I don't believe the board thinks it was an unintentional consequence. I think it's something that should be considered in the light of a general review of the GNSO, including the equalized voting process, and I think the board will be amenable to do that at the time of the periodic review.
Okay.
Bruce, this is Jeff. I'd like to can I call for a vote?
Yeah, I think the options are basically we put it to the vote, or if the proposers of the motion are sufficiently convinced, they could always withdraw the motion. So I'll first request that of Philip, whether he wants to continue the motion, and if so, we'll put it to the vote.
The objective of the original motion was to make sure that meetings of this council were perceived by all as being representative in the way that's envisaged in the construct of council, and that was its only intent. I've heard a lot of argumentation which seems to be very different to that principle, and which seem to make some extrapolations that are a little strange. I think, however, it would be instructive to put it to the vote to see if during that vote some of that argumentation we heard manifests itself in ways that may be a little strange also. I would move to put it to a vote.
Okay, we'll put it to the vote then. So the vote is basically that the ICANN, that the GNSO Council will recommend to the ICANN board that ICANN change its bylaws relating to quorum in the GNSO from the present text, which defines the quorum as a majority of the total number of votes, and that will change to a majority of the total number of council members in office, provided that those members are also entitled to cast a majority of the total number of votes. So I'll now put that to a vote. First, Philip Shepherd.
I support the motion.
Marilyn Kay.
I support.
Grant Forsyth.
If Grant is not on, I'm holding up for him.
Okay, you can vote Grant's proxy, Marilyn.
Grant,
are you there?
Yes, I am, and I support the motion.
You support the motion, thank you. Jeff Newman?
I'm against.
Jordan Buchanan?
I'm opposed.
Is Kerry Karp on the call?
Yes, he is, and he's opposed to the motion.
Okay. Tony Harris?
I support.
Now, Tony Holmes, has someone got a proxy for Tony?
I have a proxy for Tony Holmes, and he supports the motion.
Okay. And Greg Ruth, are you on the call? Okay. Chan, are you on the call?
Bruce, I've just had a message from Chan to say that he can't be on the call. He gives his proxy to Milton. And I've just had a message from Milton to say that he can't be on the call.
Okay. Gabrielle?
I'm sorry here. I'm having terrible problems to hear all the conversation. Seems to be a subway here. I know I need to vote now, but I really want to be sure that I'm voting for the best interest of my constituency. So I ask, could I vote in another meeting or should be now?
You have the option to exercise your vote for or against, or you can abstain from the motion if you don't feel that that you can cast a vote.
I don't want to be against just because I don't hear well or... Let's understand me that this is, I'm talking in a foreign language, in real time, it's not the same as reading email. Sorry, I don't want to bother anyone here.
Okay, so I'll put you down then as abstain, is that...
Okay.
Ken Stubbs? Ken Stubbs, how do you vote on the motion?
I'm going to abstain.
Abstain. Tom Keller?
I abstain as well.
Okay. Linda Roche, are you on the call? Okay. Laurence, are you on the call?
No, Ellen has got a proxy for Laurence.
Okay, Ellen?
I'm going to vote. I understand that the motion to vote for the motion is that the board, that this be presented for the board to consider?
That's right. Basically, all we can do is make a recommendation to the board.
Did the board think about it or not? Okay,
yeah,
yes.
Is that the motion, or is the motion to affirmatively recommend this change?
Yes, the motion is that the council recommends that the ICANN board change the ICANN bylaw. So we're making a recommendation to the board.
That it be changed.
That's correct.
I'll vote for.
Okay, and you hold a proxy for Laurence, is that correct, Glenn?
Yes, that's right.
How would you like to vote your proxy for Laurence?
I'll give Laurence the chance to abstain since she doesn't know.
Okay. I mean, it is a posted motion, so It's
Then I'll
know about the motion.
then I'll vote her for.
Okay. Okay, I have a total of 7 votes in favour. And currently I have a total of 6 votes against. And there are 1, 2, 3, I'll also abstain on the vote. So we have 4 abstentions. So,
just to correct that, Bruce, you have 7 abstentions votes.
Because of the weighted voting.
Bruce, how did you vote?
I abstained.
Okay.
Sorry, I stand corrected. That's correct that there are 7 abstentions because of the weighted voting. For votes to pass, it would require a majority of the total number of votes in favour, so it would need 13 votes in favour, and we only have 7 votes in favour, so the motion hasn't passed.
Bruce, I'm sorry, I have a question of clarification.
Yep.
With so many people who did not vote, either abstaining or voting no, we had 2 people who did not vote at all, is that right?
I have no vote from 2 of the non-commercial members, which is Chun and Milton Mueller.
Uh-huh.
I have no vote from Greg Ruth, so I think I've got a total of 4 people who haven't, is that right?
And there's no vote from Linda Roosh.
Oh, Linda Roosh, yeah. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4 people that have not voted.
13, 20, and that makes 24 votes total.
Yep, so it adds up.
24 votes.
Yes. Okay, so we'll move on to the next item of the agenda. And I guess the point to make here too is that although this motion hasn't passed, there's still obviously, as Louis has pointed out, the chance to make the case review of the GNSA. The next topic is to get an update on the Deletes Task Force. From the point of view of the Implementation Committee, a report was provided, I think probably just a bit over a week ago, to the Deletes Task Force. Perhaps, Jordan, are you able to comment whether the Task Force has had a chance to consider it?
Individual members have. I think we are likely to have a call next week to try to finalize recommendations to forward to the Council in light of the Implementation Task Force's recommendation.
Right. Well, so you'll be aiming to get it to the Council preferably at least 7 days before the
meeting. Hi, this is Audrey McQuadzo from Canada and the GAC.
Okay, thanks, Audrey. Jordan, you attempt to get that done 7 days before the meeting, just so people have got a chance to see any changes?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be my intent.
Yep. On the topic of the budget, I wonder, Glenn, if you could provide a quick update of the GNSO budget.
Yes. I'm sorry that the sheets arrived very late, so they have been put up on the website if you'd like to see them.
I think what I'd do is if you could just summarise where we're at. So I gather we've got enough finances to take us through to the end of the month.
Yes, we've got, in fact, total unencumbered funds $49,042.11.
Perhaps just a question for Louis, and I'm not sure whether you'd better answer this, but what is the position of the funds? I'm assuming that ICANN will take over the responsibility of the Secretariat as of 1st of July. Is that still your understanding?
Yes, that is my understanding.
And what's your understanding then of what happens with the remaining funds? Do they get returned to ICANN, or they become...
No, they don't get returned to ICANN in my understanding, they would remain susceptible for appropriate usage by the council. I think Mr. Cicchetti at some point reported on this, that there might be a continuing need for a budget committee for that purpose after the 1st of July. And in particular, there are various kinds of additional support that might be want to be funded.
Bruce, may I just bring your attention to a note that Diane Schroeder sent. There is a current debt of 103,444.84 outstanding DNSO financial records. We have, according to ICANN's financial policies, created a bad debt reserve for this amount, as it is more than 90 days past due. Before we can complete the processing of closing out the DNSO accounts, I would need instructions from the DNSO how to handle this debt on our books.
Okay,
if it is to be written off, then I need to be advised that it is an action of the DNSO, now GNSO, wishes to take.
This is the debts regarding
The constituencies that have not paid.
That have not paid, yeah.
The penalties that were added.
Okay, and the other issue is... just within this financial year, two constituencies haven't paid, is that correct?
And for this financial year, all the constituencies except the non-commercials have not paid. The last constituency to pay was the IP, which happened within the last 48 hours.
Okay, so only the non-commercial hasn't paid,
paid
for this,
yes.
This year. Okay. I think that's something that we should... perhaps get the budget committee to make a recommendation to, and we might deal with that probably the meeting following the meeting in Montreal. I think would be most appropriate to deal with how we close off the books and what we do regarding bad debt. Are there any other comments on the budget or any questions?
Bruce, how was your intention to implement the getting the budget committee to do to look at this?
I think I would request them to have a look at it. But my approach is probably that we would want a proposal for the GNSO Council meeting following the Montreal meeting. So in other words, that would be the July meeting, that we have a proposal, because that will allow us to understand the final status of the accounts and understand the handover from the GNSO to ICANN regarding Secretariat services. So I think it'd be most... it'd be possible perhaps for the Budget Committee to meet at Montreal, and I'm not sure whether Mr. Cicchetti would be available, but it'd probably be possible for members of the Council to discuss this in the meeting in Montreal and follow up with a recommendation for the July meeting. Are there any other questions or clarifications? Okay. The next item is the GNSO rules of procedure. We're currently operating under the old Names Council rules of procedure, except where the bylaws differ. Glenn has attempted to combine the implications of the bylaws with the old Names Council procedures to create a new set of procedures. I believe they need to be eventually approved in July by the ICANN board. Is that correct, Louis?
No, I don't think that is correct, unless I'm not aware of a requirement that you're aware of.
Right. The individual constituencies, I believe, have a requirement. Is that correct? Such
yes.
As a registrar?
By July 15th, the individual constituencies must submit their new bylaws, many of which have already, but there's no similar requirement that I'm aware of for the rules of the names of the GNSO Council.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't aware of that. I assume that what applied to the constituencies would also go up the hierarchy.
Yep, thank you.
But I think it is something that I would like to stabilize. I think it's it's perhaps time that we revisit some of the old names council procedures. Examples of those, for example, is that it has a 14-day email voting period. A few people have questioned whether that's too long and whether we should be aiming for 7-day email voting periods, given that most of the votes need to be ratified at a teleconference in any case. So that's one thing the council might consider. There are also rules regarding the duration of, or the length of term of the chair of the GNSO. And currently the rules are a six-month term, with a second six-month term being the maximum number of terms. So those are just a couple of issues that I highlight that the council may want to consider whether they wish to change those.
Bruce, for clarity, are you saying that the compilation of all the procedures we see at the moment basically are just putting together what is current, and now you're saying, well, wait a minute, we may want to change some things?
That's correct. Yeah, I'm saying this is the time when we should review those rules of procedure and decide whether we want any changes. You know, we have now got a new GNSO. I mean, maybe that we should wait until the nominating committee members are on the council as well before we formally change them. But the status, as I understand it, is Glenn has really just done effectively a merge between the bylaws and the old names council rules.
Bruce, this is Louis. Just as a point of information, I do expect that you will have three additional nominating committee appointed members joining you for your meeting in Montreal.
Okay, thank you, Louis. That was one of the questions I was going to ask, is when they would be appointed. So they formally are members at that time, is that...?
Yes, they will be members qualified to vote at that meeting.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. So it sounds like there's no hurry to do anything, but I think if perhaps people would have a chance to review those procedures, and if there are any changes or improved wording, that they be forwarded to Glenn. But at the moment, we're still operating under the old names council procedures. Under other business, I mentioned at the last meeting, the council voted to form a Who is Privacy Steering Group. There's a couple of issues about that that I wanted to clarify with council members. One is that my view is that the constituencies should each nominate one member to that steering group. And my view is that member could be from within the council or from within the constituency. I don't see a requirement to require the member, the steering group member, be a council member. So that's the first issue. The second issue is the issue of the chair of that steering group. My view is that chair should be independent of the constituencies. It's the purpose of the steering group is merely to determine the topics in terms of references of any task forces. It's not the purpose of the steering group to create policy. And I would recommend that we look at potentially Mike Roberts, who's been involved in chairing and some initial discussions on who is, I think particularly amongst registrars, and I believe those have been open calls with other people able to attend. So he does have an awareness of the topic and is independent of any constituency. So I just want to open it up to input on what people's views are on those two questions, the question of the membership of the steering group and the question of the chair of the steering group.
Bruce, this is Milton. I just joined the call.
Thanks, Milton.
I have a question.
I'll just repeat what I said for Milton because he may not have heard. Milton, I'm just reviewing the Who is steering group that was agreed at the last council meeting. The first question I have is, I believe each constituency should appoint a member to that steering group. My view is that member may not necessarily require to be a council member. It could just be another person from nominated by that constituency. So that's the first question. The second question is that of an independent chair, and I had suggested potentially asking Mike Roberts if he would be willing to chair that,
given that he's also been involved, I understand, in chairing and facilitating some preliminary discussions on who is. So those are just two items for discussion.
Bruce?
Yes, who's that?
That's Ken.
Yep, go ahead, Ken.
First of all, I think Mike would be an excellent person for it. I think he's well-respected amongst the constituencies all the way around. The only concern I would have if, for any reason, Mike may feel that he doesn't have the time to make that commitment, I think it would be a good idea for us to have some sort of a methodology in place so we don't have to go too long on that. So I have a question to ask, and that is, would it be improper to consider possibly having a board member chair this if there's a board member who's willing to take that time commitment on? If Mike, for some reason, elects not to be to decline the...
Bruce, can I ask a question about this?
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, I would like to just a clarification. I believe I understand the concept of an independent chair. I also believe I understand the concept of the role of counsel. As I understand the council's plan, what we would be doing would be to use the steering committee really as a working group to define the roadmap for the work that council would do on who is. Is that
correct? Yes.
Okay. That's a fair characterization then.
Yep.
So, I guess given that, I would prefer to see the chair be from the community and not someone from the board, because the board will eventually have to vote any recommendations that come out of council's work.
Yeah, although the board won't be voting on the roadmap, the board would only be voting on the outcome of the policy development process. So
that's
true. Committee is definitely not doing policy development.
That's true, but we all know that work of the steering committee will be to define and guide the agenda and the sequencing of the work, which also will define and have a great influence on the terms of reference, et cetera.
Yeah, bear in mind also that the council would still need to approve any recommendations from that steering group. So that steering group has really no authority of its own.
I understand, but I think that, you know, we all realize when one is elected to a board seat that actually gives appearance of some sort of additional authority.
I apologize. The only reason I was proposing a board member was because I felt that the board member's principal obligation was to ICANN, and as a result would be independent in terms of the community. And I think in the long run what we're looking at here is trying to work with the process and give us as much legitimacy as possible on a global basis.
Okay, some other comments?
Can I get into you? This is Milton. Can I get into you, please, Tom?
That's Milton, followed by Tom. Go ahead, Milton.
Yes, I would like to say that I, when you spoke of a chair for the steering group as being independent last time, I made some inquiries. And the person that came to mind for me was Scott Bradner, who's a veteran of the Internet Engineering Task Force and has approached the privacy issue and of course, knows everything about the technology. And so I broached the idea to him of chairing this committee, and he did not say no. He did not say yes either. He's apparently thinking about it, but I just wanted to put that name on the table. I think the people that I deal with would view him as being a little more neutral and acceptable than Mike Roberts. Not that there's anything particularly wrong with Mike, it's just that he is associated in many people's minds with the existing Who Is policy, because it was put into place when he was the CEO of ICANN, and we would not be particularly thrilled about that. The other thing about Mike Roberts is that there's this sort of a parallel process going on with the registrars, and that has some good elements and some elements that make me uneasy. And the idea that this process would kind of be carried over into the council process, again, it's could be a good thing, and it could be something that makes some people a little nervous in terms of outside deals being made and so on and so forth, and then carried over into the GNSO process. So bottom line is we're not terribly comfortable with Roberts as a suggestion. We have put a feeler out to Bradner, and hopefully that would be successful. He's certainly somebody who knows how to manage contentious online working groups.
Bruce, could you put me back in the queue, please?
Okay. Tom and then Ken.
Okay. Thank you, Pierce. I guess what I would like to say is that I'm not sure if one person from each constituency might be enough to do the work. I mean, if you just have a look at the, for example, registrar constituency, you have a real diversity of views and how it could be handled, and I'm not sure if one person is up to represent the whole constituency. So we might should extend it to two per constituency to have a broader view on it. And secondly, talking about Michael Roberts as chair, I have to echo what was just said on that there's nothing particularly to be wrong with him, but I would sure feel better if someone from inside the EU or somewhere else would chair that meeting, thought that most of the things concerning her is the privacy-related issues, and thought that he's an American and they don't really have the privacy problems as we have in Europe. It might be a good idea to ask someone from the European Commission to chair it, or someone from, I don't know, I don't have a specific person in my mind, but just to get that tabled, because there are legal obligations. Every registrar, for example, every registry has to fulfill, and that has to be talked about, and that's just about data mining and bug hunting.
Okay, we might need to do this in steps then. Probably the first step is to actually get the constituency representatives onto a steering group, and the if that steering group can't agree perhaps on a chair from outside the membership, then I guess the fallback option, given that we don't want to spend a lot of time on this, would be that steering group would elect a chair from within its members, is much the same as what we do with the GNSO. I think Thomas made a good suggestion regarding two members per constituency. I think I'd echo that, in that we have seen in the past that often one member of any constituency is probably difficult to represent all the views, and perhaps two people from each constituency would provide a better balance. Do I have any discussion on that?
I just would make a point of clarification. It's Marilyn. I don't disagree with that idea at all. I just want to remind everybody that actually, that was why I asked the question of clarification. The work of the steering committee is not to do the PDP, but to organize the work. I merely just remind everybody that there will be further need, it sounded to me like, for appointments to PDP processes as well, and I would ask that if correct my understanding of that.
Bruce?
I think your understanding is correct. I think there will still be some contention over the exact output, I guess, of the Who Is steering group, as there is in most of these processes, but I do agree with you that all they're doing is establishing the process, and they're not actually defining policy.
Bruce, to be a little more precise about it, what they're doing is making recommendations to the council about the process for moving forward.
That's correct, yes.
Bruce, can you remind me of the timeline we're giving this steering group?
Well, like with a lot of these processes, the timelines tend to become flexible, but my view is that we should attempt to get the steering committee in place ready for the Montreal meeting so that that steering committee could potentially meet in Montreal and consider the outputs of the public forum sessions. Then my view is that perhaps over a 60-day period, probably the first 30 days might be coming up with some drafts for consideration, perhaps discussion at the council level, and then another 30 days to refine those. So I had envisaged a sort of rough 60-day process to at least get some initial outputs, and those initial outputs would be perhaps some recommendations for one or two or three task forces, with the purpose of each task force defined fairly clearly.
Okay, I just have a comment also on, was it Tom was suggesting maybe two reps per constituency. That may be appropriate for the workload, I'm not sure. But it's perhaps just worth remembering that in the current construct of the board bylaws, two reps per constituency would be the entire council as of October this year.
Yes, that's noted, Philip. And also I suggested that these members may not necessarily need to come from council itself.
Sure.
Bearing in mind that council makes the decision, this is only a group making recommendations to council.
Yeah, Bruce, this is Ken. Am I in the queue still?
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, two things. Number one, getting back to Mike Roberts, I think I would have to take an exception to Milton's response here, because I think Mike would do a good job. Basically, his responsibility would be, in effect, chairing this. And I think that I don't know whether or not we talked about whether or not he would be a voting versus a non-voting chair, but I think Mike's had a significant amount of experience in dealing with groups with different perspectives, as has Scott, but I think that for all intents and purposes, I think Mike has the legitimacy, and I think most people would be very comfortable with him. I think there's always going to be contentious issues that come out of a committee like this, but I don't think you could tie them to one person, nor do I see anything sinister in putting together agendas like this. Thank you.
Okay. So perhaps can I just get agreement on the two representatives per constituency, and those representatives do not need to be council members?
I have a question about it, Bruce.
Yes, go ahead.
Is it possible to agree that, first of all, it would be representatives from constituencies and I assume, representative from the newly appointed nominating committee, party of three, whatever we're calling them. secondly, I assume...
Just on that point, I'm not sure that follows necessarily, and maybe Lou would need to clarify. So you think the nominating committee members would appoint their own members, or they would be members of the steering group?
I was actually asking a question about whether they should be treated in similar fashion to how we have treated... the GA in the past, and the and whether they would have representation on the steering committee. So that's one question. I have a second question, however.
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that question. I'm just trying to make...
It's a good question, that's why.
Let me try my second question. If we can assume, I think it is possible that not all constituencies might want to appoint two people. If they were comfortable in appointing one, and there's an agreement that each group has only one vote, if voting turns out to be the way decisions are made, then that would offer the ability for constituencies to put forward only one person if they so chose.
Yes,
I think that's fair. Yeah, so if someone put... If we assume that there was one vote per person, and if one constituency just had one member, then that person would carry two votes. Is that what you mean?
You could do that, or you could have only one vote per group.
Bruce, carry here. Procedural thing. I'm going to have to leave the call. I give my proxy to Jeff.
Okay. Thank you, Carrie.
Can I have another question, Bruce?
Yeah, just on the question about the nominating committee, can we leave resolving that until the nominating committee members have joined the council? I mean, there's no problem with us adding people to the steering group. I think what I'd like to do is focus just now on getting the constituency part of it right. Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I guess the question is, will there be any kind of participation from the GAS, I see, from the GAC?
From the GAC?
Again,
I think it's probably worthwhile the GAC being able to have the choice to have a liaison to that steering group, just as they have a liaison to the GNSO, and I'd also say the same for the ALAC. That, you know, it'd certainly be appropriate, just as they did with the GTLD committee. They appointed a liaison to the, you know, they'd be able to appoint a liaison. So I'd say both GAC and the ALAC would be able to appoint liaisons.
So we will send out an invitation for the GAC to send
that,
someone.
That's correct, course. Through Audrey,
oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Bruce?
It's Audrey,
yes.
From Canada.
Yes.
About that, yeah, please, if you have any invitations that you would like to send to the GAC, send them through me. The GAC set up 9 liaisons, and we have 9 liaisons going right now, and I'll certainly bring the invitation to the GAC, but I can't guarantee that the GAC would join, would actually send a liaison to it.
That's understood, yep.
Thanks.
Okay, are there... So, as I understand it, just regarding the constituencies, the proposal is that constituencies could appoint up to 2 members, and if they chose just to appoint 1 member, that member would have the same voting weight as if they had appointed 2 members. That's as I understand the proposal. Are there any discussion on that?
Bruce, this is Jeff. Can you just amend that last part to just say every constituency gets 1 vote?
That's fine, yes.
I think it's a little bit easier than doing the mathematical calculations.
Yes, okay, that's fine. So it's basically to say that each constituency may appoint 1 or 2 members to the steering group, and that each constituency would have 1 vote.
Does weighted voting apply to the steering committee?
I think we're getting into a lot of procedural detail here.
Well, it's an important question.
It is.
Doesn't what Jeff just proposed mean basically the answer is yes, that the voting is equalized among constituencies?
I'm sorry. I thought what Jeff suggested, that each constituency have 1 vote.
Yeah,
that was he suggested, yes.
Okay, yeah, let me go back. What I meant was that each, in other words, it just should count as 1, I don't know how to word it, but basically that whether you have 2 people on the steering committee or 1 person, it should count as 1 block in consistent with the policies of weighted voting.
Weighted voting, Jeff, I think there's a difference between weighted voting. And
no, I understand that. What I'm trying to say, though, is let's get into an example rather than my trying to come up with an overall policy. If there were 2 registry personnel, or I should say if there were 3 registry people on there, or I guess it's only 2. Let me reverse that. Let's say 1 registry person and 2 business constituency persons on the steering committee, that they would vote in accordance with each constituency gets the same amount of votes as they would get on the council.
Can I perhaps just clarify this by a question to Louis, just from a bylaw point of view? Do the bylaws define the voting procedures within task forces?
No, and they certainly don't define them within steering groups.
No, I
think
I'd find
you heard
the president
earlier, Bruce. I think maybe there's more detail being discussed here than really ought to be. One would hope that as to the general pattern and priority and assignment and scoping of tasks, that the council and the steering group who work very much by consensus.
One would hope.
You know what? Given that, let me just drop my, you know, I'll withdraw my amendment just to say that to the extent a vote is taken, each constituency should be treated equally on the steering committee.
I think that's the easiest, because bear in mind that all it can do is make a recommendation, and the council needs to you know, formally accept it anyway. So I think trying to create too complex a procedure at the steering group or task force level just sort of creates unnecessary bureaucracy. So the motion, as I understand it, is that each constituency can appoint one or two members, and that the members may be from outside the council, and that each constituency would have one vote in any votes that are proposed at the steering group. Any other discussion on that? Okay, all those in favour say aye.
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 Any against? Any abstentions?
The GAC liaison abstains, so I think it's a given.
Okay, yes, thank you, Audrey. Okay, so that's the process of getting this steering committee created, and I guess we'll put out a request to each of the constituencies to attempt to appoint their one or two members prior to the meeting in Montreal. In regards to independent chair, that's really just an issue that they can, the steering group can either achieve consensus amongst itself, if they believe that they mutually accept an independent chair, but if not, then it will be up to that steering committee to appoint the chair from within the steering group. Okay, the next item is...
Could I briefly ask a question?
Thomas, yes, Thomas.
I understand that the ALSE will be invited to appoint a liaison.
That's correct,
the
steering
group, and I wanted to ask if the council would would object against a request to... Let me put it like this. Could you possibly reserve as a possibility to appoint a liaison as an alternate liaison, not in order to consume duplicate bandwidth, but in order to be able to have some flexibility in distributing workload? Would that be possible?
Just say that again, Thomas, so I can understand.
Sorry. Could we just appoint a liaison and an alternate liaison to that group, not in order to consume the double bandwidth, but just in order to be able to have a little flexibility in distributing work?
Sorry, you mean appoint two people, did you say?
Two people, but with the understanding that only one of them would regularly talk, or that only one
would regularly... Yeah, I think that's consistent with what we're asking of the constituencies. I think that's fine.
Okay.
And the same privilege would go to GAC if they wish to take that up. The next area I'd like to talk to is the, or really get an update, I guess, is the GTLD committee document that was discussed at the last call. I believe, Philip, there's been some changes made to that. Do we feel that we've reached convergence, or do we need to wait to Montreal to converge the document?
Yeah, just to update, there have been a few more suggestions over the last couple of days. There's been nothing in those suggestions that I have any problem with. There's one remaining question, I think, as to the exact phrasing we have on IDNs. In the version I posted, I took on board the proposal from the non-commercial constituency and deleted everything in sight on IDNs. There's been some comeback on that, saying, no, we should perhaps have a short statement which demonstrates the council has not forgotten IDNs. And I have asked, Milton to come up with a proposal on that based on a draft that Marilyn had submitted that Milton raised an objection to. I don't mind what we have, as long as we have a statement everybody can agree with.
Okay, so it sounds like we'll put that on the agenda then for the meeting in Montreal, and hopefully we'll have that completed. I think the document, certainly from my personal point of view, looks much improved from the version we had at the last meeting, so I think it's close, and it's just the last few sentences.
Okay, well, once I get that from Milton, then I'll submit a final document, so we have a few days before Montreal to digest.
And finally, Audrey, you wanted to make some statements from the GAC.
Thanks, Bruce.
there's two questions I have bring from the GAC. One is that the GAC GTLD working group would like to meet with the GNSO Council sometime on ideally Monday morning, June 23rd, for a half hour to an hour session, however you guys see most fit. Would there be general agreement from the GNSO Council that this would be a good idea?
I'm sorry, Audrey, it's Marilyn. Could you say
again? Hi, Marilyn.
Which of the working groups?
The GAC GTLD working group.
Audrey, how many is on that working group?
Anywhere between, I think it's about 6 to 10.
Okay. The reason I asked was just in terms of who would move where.
Yes.
In the time you specified is the normal start of the constituency day meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that is happening that morning is a joint information meeting with at least three of the constituencies, and we could theoretically, because that will be a larger room, perhaps create a session within that that would fit this, if everybody agreed with that idea.
What would the other constituencies be?
The other constituencies for the general meeting are only three, but we would obviously for that session open it up to everybody.
I mean,
I'm just speculating, but that just seems a practical way that it might all work together.
I mean, the GAC GTLD working group is very keen with meeting with the GNSO. I mean, this is really an outgrowth of there was some there was some talk of the GNSO meeting with the entire GAC, but the way the schedule's played out, it's become very hard for the GNSO to meet with the entire GAC, but it would probably be more productive for any kind of GNSO GAC agenda to meet one-on-one. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I think it's broader. It's not really a constituency meeting, Philip. My interpretation is it's a meeting with the GNSO Council itself.
It's in the Council. I beg your pardon. Okay.
I should have clarified that. It is the GNSO Council.
But I'm sorry. Just do the time again for us, Audrey.
Monday morning, June 23rd, 9 to 12:30, is the time that we set up. The GAC has left for working group meetings,
uh-huh.
And some half hour to 1 hour session in that time, as you guys see fit.
Well, perhaps I could make a modified recommendation, Philip, to your proposal. If the council decides to do this, and I'm this sounds very promising, perhaps what we could do would be to unconvene the cross-constituency meeting for that hour, or 45 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever it is, unconvene that meeting and offer the room to the council and the GTLD working group for that purpose. We had built into the cross-constituency agenda the assumption that council would be having a full meeting with the GAC, Audrey, and you're saying that's unlikely now?
Yes, that's unlikely. I mean, more than unlikely, it's not on the agenda.
Hey, Audrey, this is Jeff. We're not.
Hi, Jeff.
How's it going? The GTLD registries and the registrars are not, and I assume the non-commercials are not invited to that cross-constituency.
No, Jeff.
Ignore what I said, Jeff.
Let me finish. So I think your suggestion is a really good one, Audrey. Let us get back to you. I need to go to my constituency and figure out what I can move around in our own scheduled meeting. But if we can get back to you in the next day or so as to a good time, that would be really helpful.
Bruce.
Can I make a suggestion? This is Milton. Why don't we just set aside 10 minutes in the council meeting on Tuesday to allow this working group to say something to us?
But Milton, I don't disagree with that, but I think the offer of a council discussion with the GTLD working group would be most welcome, and it would be hard for them to make a report had we not had that previous meeting. I just want to clarify to make sure that Jeff understood what I said, which was that we would unconvene the cross-constituency group to offer merely the room to council and the GTLD. I just wanted to be...
I'll just also make a comment, too.
Bruce, if I may, this is Ellen. I'm afraid I'm going to have to get off the call shortly. Is there anything else that you need to vote? Because clearly I seem to be carrying everybody's
votes.
Practice.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you. Goodbye, all.
Just to clarify, there's also a GNSO council breakfast on the Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that we can hold that room and invite the GAC people to visit us at the end of that breakfast, which would be kind of at the beginning. I don't know the timing at the moment, but maybe we meet at 8:30 or 9 or something. first up in the morning, and the constituency meetings could probably start half an hour later, and I don't think that'll be a big drama for most of them.
Okay. Bruce, I think that's an excellent suggestion. I mean, the advantage is we'll have all the council together in one spot at
in
that
one
time.
Room, yeah. And I have no idea how big this room is, and maybe we just have to squeeze up, but I think...
Okay, but we can... room space, Glenn, is expert at finding the right room for us. I'm sure she can do that.
Yeah.
But why don't we agree provisionally then to say 9 o'clock to 9.30 for this meeting? And see if and everybody can just check to see if they can move their own constituency meetings around that.
Well, to me that makes a lot of sense. I agree with Philip. I think it's also if the constituencies have to start their meeting, I think the Names Council reps probably could miss the very early parts of the constituencies meeting, and they could probably work around their absence for a short period of time there.
Yep. Okay, and you had a second question, I believe, Audrey?
There's actually a two. There's a 1B, and then there'll be a second question. The 1B is that, so once we finalize, I guess we're following on Jeff's suggestion, the next couple of days, the timing for this would be we'd start ironing out the timing. I'm basically...
Yeah,
the question
I was just
really
comment
is...
In...
Oh, okay. So, yes, Bruce?
Yeah, sorry, Audrey. In terms of coordination, you should just work through Glenn. Because
okay.
Glenn's sort of coordinating the meeting room, so I think in terms of the exact time and room, if you can coordinate that through Glenn.
Done. The next question is, in terms of an agenda for that meeting, an agenda doesn't have to be very formal. I realize it's a reasonably short meeting, but maybe I can work through Glenn for this. That's the list of topics that the GNSO Council would like to discuss, and this is just so that we can do a little bit of reading on it, be a bit more prepared from the GAC side.
Okay, and this is specifically on the topic of new GTLDs, is it?
No, it's anything that the GNSO Council would like to discuss with the GAC GTLD Working Group. And so it's broader than just new GTLDs. That's obviously one issue, but whatever.
Oh, okay. Can you perhaps, what would help me, can you define what the GTLD Working Group's charter is, the GAC GTLD Working Group?
It's broad. It's anything to do with GTLDs. It's policies to do with GTLDs. I mean, the purpose of the working groups are to drive GAC policy in a way that you can't just by meeting into the GAC once in a while.
Okay, so it could basically be anything. It could be who is, deletes, transfers, anything that's sort of part of the GNSO activity, and this working group is kind of matching into that set of issues.
That's right. I mean, okay. GAC also does have a who is working group. Deletes and transfers certainly fall within the GTLD working group's domain. GAC also has a who is working group. Now, not that we couldn't discuss who is there, but there's also a lot of time that's going to be devoted to who is in Montreal anyway.
That's a good point, yes.
So possibly who is not the best, is a suboptimal topic. But, another way of looking at it is if the GNSO Council was to meet with the entire GAC for half an hour to an hour, what issues they would like to raise.
Yes,
so,
I understand.
So whatever the GNSO Council would like to raise.
Okay. Are there issues that the GAC would like to raise?
We're more interested in listening. I mean, the
okay.
issues
okay.
we raise would be in response, probably. I think
okay.
part of that is not, I don't mean that to be trite, but it's also that the GTLD Working Group is probably to put less thought into most issues than the GNSO Council has.
And Audrey, it's Marilyn, I have one other question.
Would it
be possible to post to Council, if it is possible, the list of all of the working groups and who is chairing them? Is that possible?
Yes, that's probably possible. What I can do, Marilyn, do you know Chris Wilkinson at the European Commission?
I do.
Christopher Wilkinson has that definitive list.
Okay.
Yeah, so would you be able to just drop Chris Wilkinson a line and ask him that? It may even be public. That may even be on the GAC website.
Now, why don't I work through Glenn as well, and I'll so that it comes as a request. If that's okay with you, Bruce?
Yeah, that's fine.
Fine, I'll
okay.
do that.
Okay, was there something else, Audrey?
Sure. So just to resolve that, would you? I'll work with Glenn to find a time, and in terms of topics, a week before the meetings is good enough for us, so I don't know who at the GNSO Council, or would it be Glenn, who would send the list of topics.
Yeah, look, I think I could have a go at drafting a bit of an agenda. It would probably be, in the meeting in Rio, we really just introduced who the constituencies were. And this time, I guess what we will try and do is perhaps summarise each of the issues that we're working on at the moment.
Okay.
So I'll probably include deletes, transfers, new GTLDs, UDRP, you know, just kind of a progress. This is what we're doing in each of these areas. This is the contentious issues, and then invite discussion on them.
Perfect, because the second thing is that there's going to be an opportunity for GAC liaisons to make reports to the GAC working, to the entire GAC about what their constituency, how it's doing. Now, part of that is just, I want that to be as neutral as possible and not value-based. So if there was a list of what's going on with the GNSO Council, like say you were talking, Bruce, that you could put it together, or Glenn, or whoever, and
yeah, look, I'll do an introduction as chair of the GNSO, and I'll cover those topics, and then we'll probably have a general discussion around them.
And I would also present that probably the Monday before in the five-minute liaison report, is just what topics are interesting to GNSO Council right now. I mean, that's better, I think, than me putting a value judgment on it.
Sure. Yep, I can
okay.
help with that.
Thank you.
Was that, and you didn't have anything else?
No, that's it. I'll talk to Glenn, I guess, about setting up the timing for this. And
yeah.
Maybe
what would probably help Glenn would be having an idea of who and numbers. So I think what you probably end up doing is, because that will help with the room and so on.
Yes,
it would be
exactly. And would you need connectivity?
Connectivity is good, but not required. I also am doing a lot of work with the ICANN Montreal to see where people are preparing the meetings, and I realize network connections aren't trivial always. So if the connectivity is a plus, but you know, we can live without. We can also take notes. 6 to 10 DAC people would be the estimate on our side.
Okay, so that's probably manageable within the rooms that we had in mind.
I think it's manageable in the room.
Yeah.
Bruce.
Yes.
I know we're running up against the 10:25 time level, but I have one small business item that would take about 2 minutes of the council's time, and I'd like to at least get it out on the table if it would be at all possible. I don't think we need to comment on it. It's just some requests I've received in the last 3 or 4 days.
Okay, we'll probably put it in the category of other business. So go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. Over the last week, I've been approached by various users with an expression of concern over one issue that seems to be popping up, and I'd like to get a sense of direction. We could probably do the sense of direction offline on the council. Here's the situation. Significant numbers of users over the last few years have relied principally on web hosting companies and ISPs to manage and register domains for them. We're all aware of the fact, and I think Tony has pointed it out in the past, that the ISPs in particular have experienced some very difficult times. As a result, what has happened is that there are people who have domains out there that really don't have the ability, they don't have any portability, because unfortunately the domains were registered in the name of the ISP or the web hosting company, and the companies have gone out of business. And these people have been coming to me and asking me if we can develop some sort of a methodology, or if there is a methodology in place, maybe we can more effectively communicate this methodology to the user base to allow them the comfort of knowing that should this happen, there are ways of dealing with this. So I think you're all aware of what I'm talking about. I'm hoping that maybe this discussion could get driven from possibly the ISP constituency or from even the business constituency, but I would hope we could get some sort of a methodology in place that more people are aware of. Thank you very much for letting me get that out.
Thanks, Ken. And I think certainly that sounds like a good topic for perhaps registrar's constituency to talk about.
Absolutely.
And also I agree with you, the ISP constituency, it would be good to get some input there. Just one final matter too. Glenn, do you want to just give an update on the process for electing the chair, what the next steps are?
Yes, I'll do that. Bruce, nominations for the chair close tomorrow, and the voting starts tomorrow at just after the nominations have officially closed. And the voting will be for 2 weeks until June 20. and then the vote will be ratified at the Montreal meeting. It's a fine line because we will probably all be in Montreal, and I'll have to get you the results, I hope, out on Monday on the council list so that most people can see them to be able to ratify their vote.
Glenn, Philippe, just clarification?
Yes.
You say the voting will be for 2 weeks. Is it not the voting is for 2 weeks or until all the votes have been cast? Or does someone have a chance to cast a vote and then change their mind and cast another vote?
Well, I think perhaps we should add in the vote until all the votes have been cast.
Because if we can encourage the council members to cast their votes early, it would take a lot of pressure off Glenn. She works her tail off to try to get everything else done and take some pressure off the timeline.
That would assist because it would help people to have their vote actually before they go to Montreal.
Glenn, my understanding at the moment is that we have only one nomination, and this is in the nature of an affirming vote as opposed to a choice vote. Is that correct?
That's right, yes.
Okay. I mean, under those circumstances, are we still obliged to have a two-week period, or can we shorten that? Is it up to us, or is it set down somewhere?
That's why I made that recommendation, Philip. I believe the two-week time period is set down, but there is a caveat in there if all the votes are cast. That's why I was trying to get that out.
I agree, as a good fallback. I just wonder if we need to stick with the 2 weeks even.
You need to check. This is Bruce Tonkin, and again, it's a sensitive thing for me to talk about because I'm nominated, but you should look at the Names Council rules as procedure in that regard, and then certainly the council could choose to change them, but I don't think it's necessary. I think it's probably best just to stick with the rules of procedure that are there.
Could we perhaps...
This is Louis, just... it's not uncomfortable for me to talk about it. Indeed, the 14 days appears to be a stated ordinary practice, presumably in the absence of urgency, that's stated in these rules that Bruce raised earlier as something that the council members should begin looking at with the view to possibly changing them. In any event, I believe the bylaws put in place a requirement that the vote be ratified, and since that cannot occur until the next meeting of the council, which is scheduled at Montreal, it doesn't seem any particular urgency. Finally, while Glenn's workload should be reduced, if indeed there is only one candidate running, and we don't fully know that until sometime tomorrow, then probably the tallying of votes by Glenn is a fairly simple matter to do.
Yes.
Okay, then I'll finish the call there and thank everyone for their attendance and see you in Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Thanks,
Bruce. Thanks.
Thomas.
Okay.
Bye, Thomas.
Bruce. Audrey. Yep.